This morning is Life by the Spirit, and it's titled that not just because that's what the heading says in the Bible, but there are three instructions in this passage that Paul gives, and they are this: live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit. It's pretty obvious that the life of the believer is about the Spirit's work, not ours. This is God's message to the Galatians through the Apostle Paul. But what did the people in Galatia bring to this conversation? Well, it could be said in a few words: legalism, hypocrisy, and infighting. And to add to that, they were also making personal attacks at Paul's authority, the very person who had established the church just a few years earlier. They were fighting over how much of the Old Testament law they needed to keep. And so some people were pointing at the Gentiles and say, "You need to be circumcised." And they were pointing back and saying, "Why should I keep that part of the law when you don't keep this part of the law?" And they were fighting about these things. This was just 25 years after Christ's death and resurrection. Already then, they were fighting. And Paul's message is simply this: freedom in Christ and life by the Spirit. And this is the same message that comes to us today. And so we have to also look at what do we bring to this conversation. We don't concern ourselves with conversations about circumcision in the church anymore, but we are certainly not free from things like legalism and hypocrisy. We can be pretty judgmental about keeping certain laws and rules in this part of the country. And I think we have a tendency to overvalue our efforts when it comes to living a godly life. So, yeah, there is legalism, there is hypocrisy. I don't know if there's tension here within this body of believers here at Covenant Church, or if there's infighting here. I don't know that. But when we look at the church in general in America today, there certainly is some conflict going on. When people say things like, "How can they be a Christian when they have this and that political view?" There's lots of tension right now. And these are the things that we bring to this conversation with God this morning. And His word to us is, live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Now, all this talk about the Spirit makes me remember one of the phrases from the Nicene Creed, one of the creeds of Confession for the Reformed Faith. And in that creed it says, "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who together with the Father and the Son are worshiped and glorified." The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity, and we confess in that creed, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. Every breath, both physical and spiritual, comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Just think about the impact of that for a minute. Every breath, every time you inhale, every time you exhale, is given to us by the Holy Spirit and is under the lordship of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. I want you to hang on to that thought. We're going to come back to it in a little bit. But now let's go back to our text. In Galatians 5, verse 16, Paul writes, "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Some translations here use the word flesh instead of the words sinful nature, but I'm glad that the passage that we chose or the Bibles that are here use sinful nature, because when we use the word flesh here, it's easy for us to think that this is a conflict between flesh as in physical matter and the Spirit, things we can't see. That's not what's going on here. There's not a conflict between the physical existence and matter and what goes on in the spiritual realms. The conflict is between a life lived by the sinful nature and a life lived by the Holy Spirit. The conflict is between a sinful life and a godly life. And these two ways of life are in direct conflict, direct opposition to each other. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The sinful nature wants lots of things. The sinful nature in us wants to worship other things besides God. Our sinful nature wants to put ourselves first. Our sinful nature wants to be jealous, to get angry, to be impure and have impure thoughts. Our sinful nature wants so many hurtful things. And there are laws against those things, but yet Paul says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. As I said earlier, some of the people in Galatia wanted to enforce those Old Testament ritual laws because if they didn't, they were worried that they were going to lose control and that sin was going to break out everywhere and everything was going to go down the tubes. Today, that same concern for us might be stated something like this. Well, if I stop trying to live a good life, sin is just going to take over even more. So I'm going to just keep trying harder. Even though I keep failing, I'm going to keep trying harder and harder. And maybe someday my trying will pay off and I'll be able to get this life under control. I have to wonder if all of our trying harder is actually a way that we gratify the sinful nature. We want control. We want to think that our efforts are enough to overcome whatever evil knocks at our door. Like a baseball player getting out of a batting slump only by stopping to try so hard. It seems that Paul is saying to us here, it isn't so much up to us as it is letting go and letting the Spirit do the work in us. So one of the questions I think in response to that is, well, how can we tell if or when we're being led by the Spirit? Sometimes it's obvious, right? When we're outright acting very badly, it's obvious that we're satisfying the desires of the sinful flesh. But there are times when it's not so obvious. Think about these three things. First of all, listen to your vocabulary. If you find yourself saying things like, well, I really should go and do this kind thing for this person because they're in a bad spot now, so I should do this. Or, man, I really ought to be more patient with my kids, but yeah, it's just so hard, but I ought to be more patient. Or I just really have to stop being so negative at work. It doesn't help anybody, so I have to stop doing that. Shoulds, oughts, and have-tos sound a lot like rule-keeping, not like a life lived in the freedom of Christ. So listen to your vocabulary. Second thing, look for unexpected godly behavior. Have you ever had it that you find yourself reacting to a situation in a surprisingly calm way when otherwise you would have expected yourself to just get very angry and fly off the handle at this situation? That's a moment where the Spirit is leading and you are being led by the Spirit. Watch for unexpected godly behavior. Listen to your vocabulary. And the third thing, pay attention to the pause. Here's what I mean by that. If someone does something mean to you, and your first thought is to get back at them and get even with them, and then there's this moment, this maybe only a split second in time, where you think, no, maybe getting even isn't the right thing, but then you go on and you do it anyway. There was that pause in there where the Spirit was leading, but then you ended up satisfying the desire of the sinful flesh instead. When that goes on, you know that you are right smack dab in the middle of this conflict between the sinful life and the godly life. For a split second, you're letting the Spirit lead, but just that quick, the sinful desire takes over. It happens that fast. And it happens tens, if not hundreds, of times a day. So how can you tell if you're being led by the Spirit in those, I don't know, times? Listen to your own vocabulary. Look for unexpected godly behavior and pay attention to that pause. So that's one of the questions. How can we tell if we're being led by the Spirit? The other question that comes to mind is this: how can we live more by the Spirit and less by our sinful desires and our rule-keeping? Paul says, keep in step with the Spirit. He doesn't say, here are 9 more rules for you to keep. Show love, be joyful, spread peace, do good. He doesn't do that. This is a descriptive list of what our lives look like when the Spirit is leading. He simply says, live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit. So to answer this question, how can we live more by the Spirit? We're going back now to that phrase in the Nicene Creed that I quoted earlier. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. If the Holy Spirit gives life, and if life by the Spirit looks like the fruit that's listed in our passage today, then it follows that the Holy Spirit gives us that fruit. Let me just say that again. If the Spirit gives life, and if life by the Spirit looks like the fruit in this passage, then the Spirit gives us this fruit. And these fruit are all characteristics of God. This really shouldn't surprise us because the Holy Spirit is God. And so when God gives himself to us, he gives us his characteristics to be lived through us. So instead of trying so hard, our posture could be one of receiving this fruit. Because only after we've taken it in can we be led by the Spirit and can we keep in step with the Spirit. Only after we've taken it in and it does its work in us can it be spread out so that others can see it. It's not up to us and our efforts. It's the work of the Holy Spirit through us. Now, it's very possible that you can identify a certain fruit of the Spirit that you have a hard time living. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you have a hard time showing a certain fruit of the Spirit, might it be because you have not seen that fruit coming into your life? Or maybe your heart is not open to receive that fruit. For instance, if you cannot receive kindness from God, His grace, His compassion, His mercy, His forgiveness, if you cannot receive the kindness from God, it will be very difficult, if not impossible, for you to extend true kindness to others. We can only give away what we have received. So we're going to do some receiving this morning. No trying harder. No needing the right answers. Just receiving. I'm going to read a verse from Scripture for each of the fruit of the Spirit that's listed in our passage here this morning. And I'll allow a little pause, and during that pause, if you pay attention to your breathing, inhaling and exhaling, let that be a symbol of you receiving that gift as you inhale, letting the Spirit do the work in you, and as you exhale, let that be a symbol of you releasing that fruit. Let's bow our heads. The fruit of love from 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Receive the fruit of love. Joy from Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love and will rejoice over you with singing. Receive the fruit of joy. Peace from John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Receive the gift, the fruit of peace. Patience from 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. receive the fruit of patience. Kindness, from Romans 2, verse 4. God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. Receive the fruit of kindness. Goodness, from Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Receive the fruit of goodness. Faithfulness, from Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Receive the fruit of faithfulness. Gentleness, from Matthew 11, verse 29. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Receive the fruit of gentleness. Self-control, from Luke 22, verse 42. Jesus prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but yours be done." Receive the fruit of self-control. Now, with your heads bowed, imagine a parent taking both hands of a young child and helping that child to place their feet on top of the parent's feet. The music begins and they dance. The child thinks he or she is dancing. And to a point, they are. But the parent knows they are dancing under the power of the adult. Children of God, take a few minutes each day to receive the fruit from God through the Holy Spirit. Let it nourish you, and then go. Dance. Live life by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.